God bless you all for coming out this evening. I don't know where to start, but we look to the Lord for the beginning and for the ending, right? That was a good song to sing, Our Father's World. And you know the families are our father's families too. Talk about the families, children, they're our fathers. They don't really belong to us. All right, I'll get right into this. And it's a little bit too big of a job for me, but if you exercise your minds, not necessarily just in the words that get said, but in whatever you could do to better your family life, your child training techniques, or whatever you're doing, I think that the Lord will bless you tonight. Tonight, my topic is child training. I will not be teaching on the internet. We pretty much raised our children without internet, and so that will be another topic for somebody else at another time. Although I would give one caution, I kind of feel that I almost lost a son to the cell phone, but praise the Lord, he's faithfully serving the Lord today. Another thing that I won't be teaching on tonight, which should be taught on, could be taught on by somebody sometime, is what we sometimes call the facts of life, which very much parents need to consider those things, but I will not be teaching on those tonight. I will be focusing on child training and discipline as it is needed. And I do have a photo here that will help a little bit, hopefully. There we go. I think it's good enough that you can all see it's supposed to be a house. And it's also supposed to pick your home.
Can I bring it down, Brother George, for if you're going to be using it?
I think that's all right. I won't be talking about it very long. And sometimes the Bible in the King James Version, when it uses the word house, it means your family, actually. And so this also means your family. So there we have a house. Many times when we think of a shadow of our life, we think of a bad thing, but you have to imagine this is a very hot day, like in Nineveh, where the prophet was sitting under the shade, you know, like a hot day. And the cloud, I will talk about the cloud a little bit. It's to bring shade. Psalms 103, 101. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so we have a house, and the most important thing first is to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the German says, unter seinen Schirm, sits, which gives the idea of staying under God's umbrella. So in child training, always stay under God's umbrella. Very important. I will go through these pretty fast because I will be watching the time. I don't know if I get through my notes or not. And on top of this subject, I took into consideration that I'm talking to the parents, the fathers and the mothers, primarily the fathers, but the children are also here. And so I want to acknowledge that. And so that gives a little bit of different dimension to this. So children, you look at this as being your house, your home, your family. Now, there's one thing I can get you to agree on. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to do what we know God wants us to do, if it's giving up our favorite toy or something. But here's the thing. If in that home, that house, if there is disobedience, selfishness, unkindness, kicking, biting, fighting, it's no fun in there. God doesn't want that in there. And unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and if we don't do a little bit something with our house on the inside, those things will move in. And so God has decided, and we will get scripture to back that up, that primary fathers and also mothers are those doorkeepers, and it's their responsibility to keep those things out of the home. And you want those things out of the home. Now, maybe if you would be the oldest and the biggest and the strongest, you could get your way. But if you would be a smaller one and all the others would take advantage of you, it would be a terrible place to live, right? But if you do it God's way, it would be a wonderful place to live. And Ephesians 6 says, Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the cheer and admonition of the Lord. Really gives the fathers a primary responsibility. So if there's rebellion in that house, disobedience, whatever, fathers, you are responsible. I would suggest that God will call you into account for that. It's up to you to keep that out of the house. God wants that house nice on the inside. And mothers also, mothers, I will clear to mothers here because it says honor that father and that mother. And mothers, I don't have a scripture for this, but I've experienced for this. If you want your children to honor you, there is something within your court to do to gain that honor in a part in child training. So I'm going to go into, we're still in the opening up here. I'm going to say this now. I could just stay so vague that nobody could contradict what I say, and everything would be good, and it really wouldn't help anybody, right? So I'm going to get into little details. When I get into details, it's my insight. I could say my opinion. My opinion is backed with some experience, both growing up and having children grow up in my home. Hopefully I raised them. Hopefully they didn't just grow up. And so some of those things won't necessarily be scripture, but it will be a little bit more in specifics so that you can grasp the principles I'm talking about. Okay, who is a faithful and wise servant, who the master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is a servant whom his master, when he comes, finds him doing so. And so a couple of things I want to bring out to this. Fathers, the children, your children, yes, but they belong to the Lord. We are stewards of the Lord. We are not lords over the people that live in the house. We are stewards. We are stewards. We are there to do what God wants us to do. We're not there to do what we want to do. And I think we all know that. But I just like this verse. I think it fits into this so well. And then, of course, stay under the shadow of the Almighty, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the house, they labor in the watchman waketh but in vain. So you can be the builder, you can be the watchman, but unless the Lord's in it, unless you stay under the shadow of the Almighty, it'll end up in vain in the end. It's so unfortunate. We live in a fallen world. Children can be so joyful, so it brings so much pleasure. They're just so cute, so huggy, so, you know, so interesting in so many ways. But it's just in the world we live in that a child left himself brings his mother to shame, and father for that matter. We do have an issue that we need to deal with. A proverb says, this is my key verse, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Still all scripture and something we can't find fault with, but my next statement you might be second-guessing a little bit. But here's the wonderful thing. I'm so glad I'm not, may I say that, the prophet Jeremiah maybe. He was supposed to go to preach to the children of Israel and preach. And he said, it's a hard-hearted people. It's a hard-necked people. They won't believe. They won't change your ways, but you have to preach. Wow, that would be discouraging, wouldn't it? You know, see what God says here? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. God is saying that child is trainable. You will get rewards. The child will listen. The child will obey. The child will follow through with it. That's so different from what God said to Jeremiah, speaking to the hard-necked children of Israel, right? I think we should take that seriously. Now, this is not saying that, you know, a child would choose if they will serve the Lord, but if they won't. But a lot of who children are, a lot of who we are, I believe, is formed in our younger years, our growing up years, as our minds are developing. God made us so that a child is so like a sponge. It's such a favorite story that I like to say. I read my youngest child. I don't think she would mind if I say her name. We were going down there, Pleasant Valley Road, and we looked down over there, and we used to own that home down over the fields beside the creek. and Valentine Fernandez lived there. And she looked down over there, maybe a two-year-old, I don't know. And she said, that's Val's house down there. Well, no, I said, actually, that's our house. No, for sure not. It's Val's house. Okay, I didn't argue. On the way home, she looked down over the fields and said, actually, that house down there is our house. You know, it's just those minds, God made them, that they're trainable, they're teachable. And it's so important to get them at the right time. And here again is the father's admonition to train up the children. But I didn't do anything in how's this going to be done, what are you supposed to do, when do you start, how you do this. I didn't give any direction yet, just kind of an overall view that we are God's servants. And as parents, it's our calling to train the children. And it's a promise in Scripture. It makes a big difference. All right. Now, a little bit more getting ready. I think you've all heard this verse, the first part of this verse. And I found this so interesting. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Have you ever heard that verse? At a wedding, right? You know the rest of the verse? It's so important. And it's for the people that said that verse, it's time now to say the next verse. And to, yeah, I'll put it in place there. Yes, I have a goodly heritage. And so when it comes to child training, we have such an advantage. We have a goodly heritage because of our parents. We have a lot to draw on. Let's don't forget that. That there's so much that we can draw on from our parents. We have a big advantage because of that. Having said that, I think most of us, all of us, and of course we see how growing up experiences, this are so valuable. But I think when we look back, We could all say, well, we made some adjustments from the way our parents did it, and we made some adjustments. In my years, I've also seen what I think is like people reacting to their parents and just throwing it out and starting over completely. Maybe that could be justified in some situations, but I would kind of warn against that. Be very careful. Make adjustments. Adjustments may be in place. You know, evaluate, make adjustments. And don't move too much too fast. Make a little bit of adjustment. Take this technique. Sometimes when I am running the wide belt sander, I want something of the specific thickness. And it's just a little bit too thick to run my batch. So I just go a little bit thinner. And I know it's probably too little. But here's the thing. If I go too little, I made it better, right? If I went the right direction. If it's too little, at least I made it better. If I go too much, I might make it worse than it was. And so whether it's teaching tonight or any other seminar or changing, tweaking the way your parents did things as you get into child training, I would advise to use this. If you change in the right direction, you see a need. If you change too little, at least you improved it. You can be careful that you swing the pendulum too far. Another thing I want to point out is that we tend to be influenced by the world around us. We in the church tend to get a little bit of a drift. Somehow the tentacles of the world just get a little bit of the drift to get in here. Back when we were with Grafdale Conference, we had the problem that the dresses were getting shorter and shorter and shorter. They're not getting shorter anymore. It's kind of the end thing to have a longer dress. The world somehow does make a difference in the church. And in child training, I think we can watch that as well. I thought I had another something that I wanted to bring out. Okay, unfortunately, I don't think I have that paper. So I would try to say a couple of the things. And I can't say which book it was from. Some people like to know where it's from. In 1940s, the major problems in the school were whispering, chewing gum, walking around in the classroom. There were seven of them. They were of that kind of nature. 50 years and billions of dollars later is what this said. The problems were pregnancy, assault, that kind of thing. And there's one that's not on there that you can add since then yet. That would have taken you into the 90s, and that's shootings. That's come in the last 20 or 30 years. And so as the world out there lowers the standard, we in the church tend to lower the standard. Just beware of that. And now, putting this all together back to our godly heritage, lines are fallen in godly and goodly places. I would guess majority of us here as adults would say that our parents were a little bit too strict. I would guess more of us would say our parents were a little bit too strict and that they were a little bit too lenient. That would be my guess. And if that's the case, it might be that the influence of the world is a little bit drifting in. Now, we're years later, and we have lots more toys, lots more family time, lots more outings, lots more whatever all. Do the children obey the parents better than they did back then when we were young? You get my point? All right. And I'm not saying that our parents did it right and it doesn't need to be adjusted. I'm not saying that they were too strict. I'm just saying beware that our influences from our godly heritage and from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God and not from the world. The world really isn't cutting it. They are not a good place to go to for child training methods. Okay. Now, I will start with actually what you're going to do, and I think this will go through pretty fast. At least I'll get somewhere with it. So, probably the most important thing, this gets taught all the time. Spend time in prayer. The biggest blessing is so important to spend time in prayer. And you know what? In prayer, I've come to this. I was thinking about this. Prayer is so important. I don't understand all the differences. You know, I hear people praying about babies that aren't born yet and all that, and I'm okay with that. I don't know how all that works. I don't know how all that works. But here's the thing: spending a lot of time in prayer and seeking the Lord will probably change you as a parent so much that it will benefit the children a whole lot. So praying for your child is very important, but it's going to probably change the parent that's praying for the child, which will be to the great benefit of the child. That's kind of what I got into that one. But yes, by all means, pray. Seek the Lord, because you want to be under that shadow. You want to be just in the right, the right loving, kind, caring spirit all times. Okay. A child in their young years, you want to be your child's friend. You want to win their hearts. You want to have a bonding. You want to have a connection. And I must say, I like the culture here. I like to see the fathers with their babies, taking them on to church. I imagine it's the same way home when daddy comes home from work, that he will grab up the baby and not the cell phone and take care of the baby while mama gets supper ready or whatever. That's so important. That's so good. I wish I'd have done more of that, but I like to see that culture. Bonding with the child is very important. One of the most important things in early development of your child in getting ready for life that's ahead of them. And then I want to point out a little bit a difference between training, a discipline, and punishment. Training, the Bible says, train up a child the way he should go. And then it also says that foolishness is bound to the heart of a child, and the rod of correction would drive it far from him. So I see that as two different things. but they kind of go together. So you want to train your child as much as you can. And we'll be talking a little bit more about child training. Training isn't necessarily disciplining. If you can ask your child to pick up the toys and it picks up the toys, you're training them. That's so good training. And even if you help them pick up the toys, if they help you, that's training. Discipline, if they disobey and you know they disobeyed, or if they rebel against you, then you need to discipline. Punishment, I don't know if punishment fits into raising children or not. Okay, you have to be very careful if you use the word punishment. That is not because I'm irked. It's not because they broke an expensive dish. So if they dropped the dish, and it was a dish that you got for 5 cents at the yard sale, or it's one that grandma gave you, the accident is the same. The punishment should be the same. If you need punishment, discipline or training, if you need to train your child to be less careless, that's okay. But you don't punish a child because of what they broke to make them pay to fix what they did wrong. I just don't see that as being the right thing to do. I'm not sure I have a scripture to back that. I'm just talking from my experience, whatever. If there's an issue comes up, something broke, something happened, something was done that shouldn't be done, and there was 6 children, it could have been either of them, but you don't know which one it was and nobody's confessing. My suggestion would be, know where your children are at, keep watching them. It doesn't matter. There doesn't have to be a punishment. You're training the children to go in the right direction. I've heard this idea, well, you could punish them all to make sure you get the guilty one. I would say, no, don't do that. Please don't do that. So you're training them. You're not getting them to pay what they did wrong. You are not trying to fix a thing back there. You're setting them forward, training them to go in the right direction, so they get to where you want to go, them to go later on in life. So, age-appropriate training. Start with this sentence. It could be, maybe it's not necessary, but, you know, we live in a fallen world, so we have to be careful that we move according to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, or godly heritage, and not the passions within us, because the passions within us won't do what is right. Maybe the harsh father will be too punitive, using the word punishment, or maybe it'll just be too passive. And maybe the mama's love will be kind of like a mama bear love. All those tendencies need to be sanctified and brought under the shadow of the Almighty, the influence of the Holy Spirit, and of course, scriptural. And we have a lot of a heritage to draw from. Like Malachi says, drawing the hearts of the children to the fathers, the hearts of the fathers towards the children, the hearts of the children towards the fathers. Okay, unfortunately, foolishness is bound to the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We so wish it wouldn't be, but it is. And I don't know, I want to give my opinion a little bit. I think more is trained, but more is in child training than in genetics. I know people say, well, strong-willed child, the high-tempered child or whatever, but I think it's mostly training and restraining. And I would take the allegory of this. Some trees might have more a tendency to go crooked when they're growing, but if you start when they're young, it doesn't take a much longer, stronger string to pull the more crooked, this tree that wants to be more crooked. It doesn't take much more strength to pull that one than the one that tends not to be crooked. So I am saying most of it lies in the first couple years of your child in a lot of those tendencies. That is how I would feel. And of course, I don't have scripture to back that up, but I do have scripture that train up a child in the way he should go. And it's going to work out regardless of what their tendencies are. So now I'm of course going to get myself into trouble. But again, you draw from your heritage. You draw by your older parents by what's working. And then tweak a little bit if you need to. Young parents, there's sweet babies, they're growing into one-year-olds and they're showing some of their self-will. And I know some people start training before they're one. If you want my opinion, I probably wouldn't use the rod. I probably wouldn't do any spankings before they're one. I think they would be too young. That would be mine. You still have plenty of time at that time. There's no hurry. Once they're one, between one and two, you really want to break their will. You really want to get their will before they're 2 years old, between one and two. And exactly how you do that, exactly when, but some of them can be real fighters, but you want to cross their will. It's for their good. The way we have done it, usually at that time, they would have been weaned. And at a point in time, I would specifically clock time out. I would specifically do a time when I'm not busy. And then consistently, things would change over where daddy puts the toddler to bed instead of mama. And the toddler is supposed to lay down and sleep. No crying, no screaming. We'll get mama to come to his bedside, nothing. And unfortunately, some kind of spanking is needed. And some of them will fight for half an hour, 45 minutes. If you've done some good training before that, maybe you're lucky and it's much easier. And do it consistently for a week. And the next day it might be 15 minutes, the next day it might be 10 minutes that before your child surrenders. But you want your child to surrender. And how do I get this? During this time, make sure your child knows you love them. Whenever you meet them, smile into their eyes, cuddle them, play with them more. Just keep that bond. You don't want your child to back off. You really, that love relationship needs to bridge that disappointment the child is facing in going to bed like that. Or whatever you choose to do, whether you do it in any other way, however you choose to do it, this is the key to having good behaved children. It's breaking that will before they're 2 years old. And you don't kind of tiptoe around their will and, oh, now I got them and tiptoe around. No, you want to really go across them. If you spank, whenever you, how am I going to do this? Okay, if you get this one correct, you won't have to spank very often. You can do most by training. Just telling them to do something and if they do it right away, good. If not, a flick on the finger or something and tell them again and expect them to do it the first time. You can train and train and train and you don't have to spank very often because they will take your word as being the final authority and they will not speak back. So you'd really like to get them trained by the time they are, but to get their will by the time they are 1 year old. In doing that, and whenever you're doing an ultimatum that you want your child to submit, be careful. Choose wise battles to do that. Never do it on potty training. You just can't win it. You just don't know if the child is trying, if it's not trying, and you just can't win it. I probably would never spank a child because they wouldn't eat their lunch. You just can't win it. It's not a good battle. It's not a good place to go. And I don't know. The time is running away for us. I really wanted at this point in time to open it up and ask for any questions, any thoughts, any comments of what I shared. Could we have mics? Does anybody like to correct me? Anybody like to give insights?
I don't want to correct you. I just wanted to confirm something you said about spending time in prayer. Maybe just expand a little bit. I think it is very important that we have regular family devotions. There's things we can learn in child training to do, but I think the biggest power is having the Spirit of God in our home. Is that the best way to say it? I don't know. But daily, consistent family devotions, I would see, is very important.
At what age would you say that's very important? For a 1 and 2 year old?
Well, I guess I was thinking a little bit later. Okay. So yeah, maybe not so much for... Well, one thing I did run into is a 1 or 2 year old can sit still while you're having devotions. A 1 or 2 year old can sit still while you're having your devotions.
Thank you. Appreciate your input. Over here and there. Oh, fathers with wisdom. Good.
I had a question, Brother George. Would you mind sharing, did your dad or your grandpa teach you this concept of breaking their will? You mentioned right around a year old. And if it, yeah, where you got that from, and if that was culturally the way you understood it, or somebody taught you that?
Break between you're questioning if I remember from my dad back when I was between 1 and 2 years old. No, I don't. You're questioning where I got that, to have the will broken before the 2 years old. It's the way we did it. Does that answer your question? There's one thing I would like to say about my dad, because I think that's good. One time, I don't know if I would have been 3, maybe. I can remember it, so I could run to 3, 4, I don't know. But we were at our neighbor's. It was time to go home. My bigger sister was with me, and I didn't want to go home. And so she would force me, and, you know, she was bigger and stronger, and get me to go. Then we would run down a little bit and just sit in the grass. And then I would do it again, and I did it again. And you know what? My sister told my dad, and I got spanked. No warning, no second chance, no spanked. I see children talking back to their parents. I wouldn't have talked back to my dad. Not as a 4 or 5 year old. So I don't know exactly the age, but thank you. Yes, Brother Simeon.
I really agree with starting early. Something that we found is when they're sitting on your lap, and this might be 6 months old, if they want to be roochy and just not sitting nice.
You say that's 6 months old?
Even, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would set a limit. Now, not an hour, maybe 10 minutes where the child needed to sit like I told them to. So I gave them a command and they needed to follow through with it. And I didn't spank them. I just kept my hand on them, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was intentional, to get them to start bowing their will, you know, and
amen,
just to give up. And so, after a while, once they relaxed, once they gave in, then I would put them down, play with them, or whatever, you know. But to me, that's very important. As soon as a father or a mother gives in to their child, that child is the one that's on top, you know, or, you know, and it'll be a lot harder when they're 3, 4, 5, and you say no, and they throw a fit, you know. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's very important when they're just young to start small, you know, and just
amen,
sit still. It doesn't take a lot of pressure. Just sit still.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm in full agreement with that.
So I was curious, this is something I just have no idea about. You mentioned that you wouldn't fight not eating. Do you want to elaborate on you wouldn't fight them not eating their food? Do you want to elaborate on any of the thought process with that? Or maybe that, yeah.
Okay, I can on that one. Here's the thing. If you pick a battle with your child, you need to win. If you lose, even though you have managed to make your child miserable, you make it harder for your child. So if it's a food issue, you do something that you can win. Your child doesn't want to eat what's in the plate, on the plate. They rather want dessert, and you want to eat the vegetable before they get dessert. You can tell them that you won't get dessert unless you eat your vegetables. If you don't eat your vegetables, you won't get any snack, and you won't get any food before supper time. But if you get hungry, you can always eat your vegetables. That way you will win regardless, right? Does that make sense to you? That's what I would say. Be careful that you do something where if you just say, yeah, you have to eat it, what are you going to do if they don't? Are you going to spank them? And who can eat once they're being spanked? I mean, yeah. Did I answer your question? Yeah.
I wanted to affirm what we've heard this evening. There are a lot of things that we did as parents. And I was thinking that children are all so different, and what works with one may or may not work with the others. Sometimes time out works, that thing of just being isolated and you sit there and you need to be quiet. And sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes you just need to hold them. And especially if they're struggling, it is, again, that breaking of the will that you're working on. Mm-hmm. And the idea of winning the battles, the struggles, it shows who's in charge. If the parent's not in charge because the child has said, no, I'm not going to do this and you can't make me, then
that's right. Yeah.
That they're not in charge. Yeah. The parent needs to be the one in charge, as you said.
Thank you, Brother Dell.
Yeah, I have a question about, maybe you never heard of a book that does seem to float around. I think it might be called Baby Wise. I've seen it. Baby Wise.
Baby Wines?
Baby Wise. Wise.
Okay.
So W-I-S-E.
I'm not familiar with it.
So, and it goes back a little bit what you said as far as the baby laying down, sleeping. I would love to hear some discussion on that, but probably here's not the place. It seems like there's one, I don't know if I want to use the word extreme, but there's the one side that is very structured, very disciplined. The schedule for eating, for sleeping, is just very rigid from quite young. To kind of the other, gentle parenting is a pretty popular term in the recent years here, where it's quite different, where the child really dictates a lot of their behavior and the parents are endlessly begging the child to cooperate and asking them questions. And it's on the other side, and that's has influenced us very much so. I think it's quite obvious in, at least in the school world, I hear teachers talking about that. So I guess, yeah, I'm just thinking of those extremes, and I think there's a lot to think about, especially with young parents. I would personally be a little concerned about some of that real strict, rigid schedule. And Dr. Kervin Gorman, I believe he's the one that spoke at Rogers School there recently, really brings that up as a concern of that schedule, rigidity with schedule. I don't want to be misunderstood here. There's some good things about it, but maybe it can be discussed sometime.
What age are you talking about? Nursing babies before one
Oh, yes.
Or after one? Or?
Oh, yes. No, before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very scheduled.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's good things about it, but mm-hmm. So maybe there can be a discussion afterward about that or some point.
Thank you very much. You can tell us the right way to do it, too. I would just say that I kind of lean that scheduling might be good, so I'm glad you brought that up. My wife was not a scheduled baby nursing mother, so she, when the baby cried, she nursed it and all that. So we pretty much did a lot of that after they were weaned. So Okay, I think my time is up. That's how far I got. If it was good, you can ask me to go on. If it's bad, you can say, let's just let it at that. But thank you very much for listening. Thank you for everybody that had input. I appreciate that very much. God bless you.